It was a little while ago now that there were some rumblings of teamwork, of trying to get everybody on the same page when it comes to law enforcement, when it comes to community representatives, when it comes to the judicial branch of this whole metro area and beyond in this region that many of you listen to me call home. And I've been following along, and I've been waiting for an announcement. Yesterday, that announcement came. Cass County Sheriff Jesse John are making an announcement about a task force that is going to be trying to mitigate, prevent, do all the things that we want to have done before something tragically happens. And here to explain more about this team and the work that's gone into it is none other than our friend, Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. Sheriff, thanks for coming on to After News Live.
No problem, Tyler. Thanks for getting me on. I appreciate it.
Well, this task force, I don't think anyone needs to guess that I'm excited to see that this is moving forward, that the people from not only the local jurisdiction to the county, but we're talking about two different states here saying, yes, we want a piece of that. How did you get this group together?
Well, our law enforcement agencies and leaders around in this area are really good at collaborating and working together. As you know, Tyler, we have a number of different teams that we already collaborate on, whether it's our Red River Valley SWAT team, our Red River Regional Dispatch Center, the Metro Area Street Crimes Unit, our Drug Task Force. So we're already really good at that. And one thing that, you know, I think your listeners know is that we in this area are really good at working together. I know that doesn't happen in a lot of parts of the country. I've had an opportunity to train in different parts of the country, and I've experienced some of that. I'm not sure why that happens, but in this area, we just don't have that issue. And so, after the tragic events of July 14th, I think all of us are just looking for a way that we can, if we can stop something from this, like July 14th from happening again, we certainly want to do what we can as law enforcement leaders to do that. So it wasn't hard at all once the concept was brought in. Appreciate Special Agent Aaron Falb with the FBI bringing in this concept. I sat in on the training, and I thought the concept and the investigative opportunities were really good, and sitting through that training, mm-hmm. and I brought that concept forward to the other agency leaders, and everyone was immediately on board.
You're right, first off, about whatever it is about this region, the willingness to work together and not take, building up these silos, so to speak, of, hey, you know what, this is a sheriff's office thing, this is a city police department. It's, hey, look, we just want to make sure that the outcome is what people deserve, what we want to come down to, which is a safer community. So I give my kudos to you and every other law enforcement that's listening right now involved in that. But you're right about the July 14th, because one thing that I get every time that there's a news report that individual had contact in a variety of different ways, and people are saying, how couldn't we have seen something coming? And I don't know that that's a fair assessment of it. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, is there hasn't been an ability to maybe piece this puzzle together and then utilize it in a way that could have done something.
Yeah, and I appreciate that question. I appreciate our citizens if they've been coming forward and asking you those things. I mean, we most certainly people are going to have questions, and any time that we have a tragic incident as this one. I mean, we had an officer who lost their life, a citizen who, and two officers who were injured. I mean, and really truly, in my belief, that person was going to hurt more people. There's always going to be questions because people are concerned. I mean, if this person, as we thought, potentially could have been heading down to the street fair. I mean, any of our citizens that live in this area are going to wonder, hey, could this happen again? Or, you know, does law enforcement, are they working on different ways where maybe we could intercept someone having these types of ideations or thoughts to go hurt other people? And so, if we take the July 14th incident and we talk about that, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously law enforcement had contact with Barcat in that incident, whether it was Fargo PD or our office. I mean, we had contact with that person twice. In those contacts, there wasn't anything that he was doing that was illegal. And some part of that was not the time frame from when the incidents occurred, mm-hmm. when we had contact with him and Fargo did, and then trying to piece those things together at different times when it's so spread out. and then just putting everything together to maybe come up with a conclusion that he was going to maybe do something like this in the future. That I don't think that would have changed. However, I mean, bringing in this training, right, and trying to develop this task force, I think it's gonna help because number one, the way that we're operating the task force is that each agency now has a representative specifically, you know, assigned to work on stuff like this. So now there could be a little bit better information sharing. Some of the training that our staff's going to go through now that's on this task force, I sat through one of the trainings and it was excellent. It brought forth some new assessment tools that we can use as law enforcement that I had never seen before. Certain different pieces of search warrant language that we might be able to use in getting search warrants to gather some information on individuals if we think they're going down this pathway. And so I think, and then the last thing that was huge in some of the sit-ins that I've been in and through the training in these meetings is learning or understanding the hurdles that both we as law enforcement and then some of our community health professionals face in us being able to share information back and forth amongst each other, especially when it comes to mental health issues. And so those are all important things, I think, in being able to put together some future responses, investigative techniques, intervention techniques that we could potentially use.
You, Sheriff, got exactly what I just wrote down, entry points. I imagine that there are so many different entry points of, you know, a task force becoming aware that, hey, somebody needs assistance when it comes to their mental state. You know, I mean, there's times where back in the good old days when I was in the legislature, we talk about some of the things of they were dubbed, and I don't mean this offensively, but frequent flyers. They would call, you know, the EMS, and quite frankly, they just were having an episode, but they would call it, and they'd use up resources that way. And I think what you're getting to there is there's still some of those barriers that if we are identifying somebody that's in that crisis, how do you make sure that that next level is aware of this, that they might need help getting to an appointment, they might need help refilling a prescription medication? Is there going to have to be potentially some state law changes, do you think, based around the work of this task force?
I think as we move forward, Tyler, I think we're going to find that there are some barriers and some things that we need to address. I mean, there's, you know, like I said, in me sitting in some of these meetings in the short time, I've learned of some. I mean, just as you mentioned, there are times when our community mental health professionals deal with someone in different ways. And sometimes law enforcement, you know, we're not able to obtain that information. Now, we don't want to obtain everyone's medical information, as you know, and mental health information. But if they're able to, through their assessments, figure out that this person might be going down a pathway of violence, now, because we're all talking and working together and working in the same room and working on these issues together, maybe we could break down some of those barriers. And that information can be then relayed to law enforcement maybe in a different way. And so, you know, that's really what the key point to this is, because, you know, getting everyone in the same room, collaborating, working together, opening up those lines of communication. And the last component of it is we can't, you know, whether it's community health professionals or law enforcement, we can't do it alone. I mean, we still need our community's assistance. It's a community-wide issue, whether it's a family member, a community member, someone who hears of something, or, you know, that someone is going down a pathway to violence, that they let us know as law enforcement. That's the other key component to this. We still can't intercept any of that information if we don't know of it on the front end. So right. It's a community-wide effort, but I think that, you know what, it's just none of us as law enforcement leaders, community members, no one, I don't think, wants to experience what we experienced on July 14th, no. Right? We don't want to ever have to be in that situation or see, you know, have a tragic event like that happen again. And so anything that we can try to get better at maybe trying to intercept something like that, we're going to try it. I mean, we'd be certainly a fool not to, right?
Sure.
And so, again, getting our staff more training and things, that's always going to be a benefit.
Sheriff, final question I have for you, and I'll let you get back after it, is have you heard any concern? I mean, has anybody come back and said, okay, nope, here's why I don't approve of this, because I can see certain individuals that are at a state level, and I'm not going to pull you into that, but have you heard any negative feedback on this type of work?
No, I really haven't. And I don't think, I mean, the way that the task force is designed, I certainly understand the perspective that you're mentioning there, Tyler. I think that, you know, this is just a collaborative effort amongst all of community leaders, like I said, community health professionals, human services, and really just trying to get someone off this pathway. So it's really about us getting the information, being able to identify some indicators that someone might be looking to go down a pathway to violence, mm-hmm. and then just trying to figure out a way to intervene and get them off that pathway.
Sheriff, I applaud the effort. I think it's just a great step in the right direction, getting everyone together, saying, okay, let's try to get something together to prevent anything tragically from happening in the community. Final word goes to you before I let you go.
You know, a lot of it is really just kind of what I mentioned. We appreciate the community's support. We have really good support here, and it's going to take that support and then also help from them as we move forward. And really, it's about being able to keep our community safe and hopefully, you know, not have another tragic event like we had on July 14th, for sure.
Well, Sheriff, you stay safe. You take care until we chat again next time. It's always good to catch up.
All right, thanks, Tyler.
Yeah, you bet. That's Cass County Sheriff Jesse John of the task force. You know what? They got them together. I've got a concern that has nothing to do with them trying this. I have a concern with what one of my final questions was, is if there's going to have to be any state involvement to maybe remove barriers. I will expand upon that when we come back here on Afternoons Live.